Well, happy Thursday and welcome to Perspectives from WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan, a little worse for wear as far as the old vocal cords are concerned today, but we will struggle forward mightily, and you are always welcome to be part of the action at 850-414-1234. That's our telephone connection. Perspectives@WFSU.org is the email address, and hope you can join the chat here today. Was reading this morning. This is a new report just out from Zillow. They're reporting the median home price in Tallahassee is now north of $210,000. And that is up more than 2% from last year. And Zillow expects another 2% boost plus this year. The capital city's median housing rental rate now is just under $1,200 a month. And Zillow rates the local housing market as very hot, which is great if you're selling. Maybe not so good if you're buying. We'll find out, because we have a great panel of folks who are very much plugged into the entire housing market when it comes to affordability and trying to make that market a bit more affordable for folks who maybe are not in the upper income tier, as so many of us are. So let's go around the table and find out who we're going to be yakking with today. We start off with Shington Lammy, Director of the Leon County Office of Human Services and Community Partnerships, and no stranger to this room. Good to see you, Shington.
Good to see you too, Tom.
Right next door to you, we have Kendra Light, Housing Leadership Council of Tallahassee and Leon County. Kendra, it's a delight to have you here, too.
Good morning. Thank you.
We also want to find out what's going on in the South Georgia area, which our signal certainly gets into. And Nola Shotwell joins us now with Noble Seed Contractors, formerly with the Thomasville Area Habitat for Humanity, and very, very much a part and parcel of everything that's going on in the housing market up in the South Georgia area. And Nola, I see I got you infected
with you,
there.
Yes.
I am so sorry for that. Yeah, we'll catch
I'm
up
here.
With you in a
I'm
sec.
Here.
You are here. That's the important thing. Also with us, Antoine Wright, Executive Director, Big Bend Habitat for Humanity. And Antoine, it is wonderful to have you on board to talk about what you folks are doing in the area as well, sir.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having us.
And it would not be a party without Karen Miller, Assistant Executive Director, Big Bend Lenders Consortium. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, let's get the 30,000-foot overview. Mr. Lammy, if we could start off with you here. Number one, what kind of affordable housing involvement does Leon County government have? A lot of people may think, well, gee, we know you guys do a lot of things, but this is certainly one of those functions. So talk about that.
Yeah, so affordable housing is so important and critical to Leon County government, and because it's so important to our citizens. And the reason why is in order to increase economic opportunity, improve educational attainment, and enhance the quality of life for our community, it all starts with the home. And so that's why our goal is to increase and preserve the stock of affordable housing in Leon County. And we know we can't do that alone. We do that with our partners here in our community. But we do provide programs, and we do it in conjunction with our partners through our SHIP program, our housing program. We provide down payment assistance. We provide housing rehab programming for assistance with people who need assistance with repairing their roofs or doing remodeling part of their home, as long as they're low income. Our focus is specifically those in our community who are 80% or below the area median income. And we're always working very closely with partners that you see here in the room today. And so some of the ones that you don't see in the room, like Housing Finance Authority of Leon County, and of course other partners, to ensure that we continue to build the stock of affordable housing here in our community.
Because we know there's a lot of construction that's going on kind of in the more high-end range, whether it's the so-called luxury student housing that we see down in the College Town corridor, or you go out, you know, off of Centerville Road and some of the other areas, particularly in the northern part of the county, and you see some you know, surprising developments that are going up there, even off of little, you know, tracts of road that you think, oh, gee, this goes to a former cow pasture, and suddenly you're in a gated community with multi-million dollar houses there, which is surprising. You know, you don't see these from the main road. Kinderlight, let's talk about Housing Leadership Council of Tallahassee-Leon County. Exactly what is that, and how does that help?
Yes, so we are a collaborative organization. We are funded by both the city and the county. And our main mission is to provide resources to connect the private sector with the nonprofit sector and the public sector to be able to pool resources and come up with projects and ideas that we may not have thought of before.
So if someone comes to you folks and says, okay, there is a desperate need for workforce housing in a particular part of town where heretofore it has been more high end, is there anything you can do to kind of jumpstart or spark plug that kind of thing?
Correct. And that is the think tank that we try to incubate. And so we try to pull together all of the resources, those that you see here in the room today, but also within our amazing community. We have so many resources and so many minds that can pull together and come up with some really creative solutions for families from all walks of life.
Well, let's jump over here and not ignoring Antoine and Nola here, but for you, Karen Miller, you can't do much without money. So how does the Lenders Consortium make that available to people who otherwise you go try to get a, you know, commercial mortgage and they say, are you insane? And, you know, so people come to you guys and you can help in that regard or what?
Absolutely. Part of our responsibility and why we were even created back in 1993 was to help people become first-time home buyers. And through our many partnerships with the city of Tallahassee, with Leon County, we actually process the down payment assistance programs that they provide the funding for. So in processing that, what we do is we make our potential home buyers available of all of the home ownership options that they have. Even though we process the city and the county's DPA, what we do is we make them available. We make them knowledgeable of the Florida Finance Corporation, USDA, Escambia Bond Programs, and anything that might be out there. What we say, there's a little bit out there for everybody. So we bring them in, we counsel them, we help them do whatever it takes so that they'll be able to go out and seek financing for their new homes.
All right. Well, when it comes to new homes, the organization called Habitat for Humanity and its Big Bend chapter have certainly made a lot of homes available. And Antoine Wright, how many homes do you guys usually crank out in the course of a year or 5 year span?
So right now we're on average about 10 homes a year. We are working on our 200th home for our local community. So in the past, our 20 or 30 years, 200 homes in our community is kind of a big number. Moving forward, we're looking to expand to hopefully 20, 30 houses a year as the need is huge. So we're truly a partnership organization. We work in partnership with pretty much everyone around this table. So making the community better, making an investment in the community, and creating that foundation for financial freedom that Shinkton talked about earlier is really the key in what we do.
And what are the, I guess, qualifications or the breakpoints for folks to obtain housing through Habitat programs? The average person just can't, you know, call you up and say, hey, can you build me a house?
Well, it's a partnership program, so there's an application process, but one of the myths I love to dispel is, you know, we're not a giveaway program, we're not a pure charity. All of our homes are purchased. They're purchased with a 30-year 0% interest mortgage, which is one of the key aspects in its affordability. In order to connect with our organization or get a home, simple application. We service between folks that have incomes between 30% and 80% of AMI. So I usually tell people you got to make a little bit of money, but you can't make too much. But you would be surprised what 80% AMI is. 80% AMI on the high end is all of our teachers, all of our firefighters, all of our police department. Most of our working class people fall below 80% of average median income. So when we talk about affordability, a lot of times we get into those people, you know, thinking of the least of us. But the vast majority of us are falling well within the gaps of affordable housing.
Nola Shotwell, you were formerly associated with the Habitat program in Thomasville, now with Noble Seed Contractors. What is the housing situation like up there? We focus on Tallahassee, but Thomasville and the South Georgia area, next door neighbors, literally. How are things looking in that neck of the woods?
With the exception of Habitat for Humanity, we have none of the partners that are around the table right now. So the city of Thomasville does not have a director of human services and community and partnership. We don't have anyone whose full-time job it is for the city or the county to focus on housing. We don't have a collaborative like TLC, who's funded by the city and other grant funders to help support organizations such as Habitat Thrive. We don't have a coalition of housing agencies pooling together to help address the housing problems in Thomasville. So it's dire.
The need is there.
The need is overwhelming, and it's one of the reasons that I stepped away from Thomasville, Thomas County Habitat. It wasn't because I didn't feel that the organization was doing great things. They were doing wonderful things. But the capacity, we were limited. You know, if you can only do 5 units per year, and honestly, 3 years ago, when I came on board, we were doing 1 unit every other year. 1 unit every other year. They are now doing 5 units per year. But as you all stated, imagine, you know, you guys are doing 10. You want to do 20. You want to do 30. And we need to be doing the same thing in Southwest Georgia. So I stepped away from that organization to move on to Noble Seed so that we can begin to meet the needs of the community.
We'll talk more about that and exactly what you folks are doing as we roll on into the next segment of Perspectives Talking Affordable Housing. And 850-414-1234 is the number. Back on Perspectives, affordable housing is the topic du jour this morning here, and you are always welcome to be part of the program. Of course, 850-414-1234, the phone number, calls are pouring in. And a reminder, you can always find the show online at WFSU.org. Just go to our website, click on radio, pull down the local programs menu, and then click on Perspectives. We archive past shows, trying to have the latest one up within a day or so of when it actually airs. Let's go to the phones right now. And Donna checks in with us here on Perspectives. Hi, Donna. Welcome to the program. How you doing? Hello, Donna.
Hi. Tom, I hope your voice gets better. I have a specific question for the Habitat people that are there in the room.
Okay.
If you've completed all of the hoops you're required to jump through and you're at the stage where you're just waiting for the phone to ring and you get your house and then you do the last little bit once you've been picked out. That process there, is it kind of, are you waiting in line, first one complete, first person to finish is kind of queued up, or is it like, then it's just pick a name out of the hat? What's the policy and procedure there? Habitat for that end stage there.
Okay, thanks, Donna. Appreciate that. Antoine Wright, how's it go?
So, Donna, the policy or the procedure is pretty straightforward. It is typically the first come, first serve. And there are some variations, so housing size, location. Some of our programs are specific as to, like, veterans. We also build in Gadsden County, so if there are some outlying circumstances, that first come, first serve may kind of change or shift a little bit, be modified. The other thing there is housing size. So sometimes we're in a specific neighborhood and maybe there's some smaller lots or there might be some larger lots. So a lot might be dedicated to a 2-bedroom and the next person in line has a 4-bedroom. So we would build the next available 2-bedroom. And that person in that four-bedroom queue would be the first in line when we had a lot that was appropriate for their family size. But for the most part, it is, you know, kind of first come, first serve.
Appreciate the question, Donna. Let's go over to line two and Reed. He has a concern also he wants to share with our panel here on our affordable housing perspectives. Hey, Reed, how you doing, sir?
Tom, how are you, sir?
Oh, just hanging in by a bare and slender thread, my man.
Let me tell you something. It's too early in the morning to be taking on an issue so complicated, so scary. You know, there's so many things involved with this. Low unemployment is a big issue. Because when you got low unemployment, everybody who is working has a house. And so what happens is they start developing bigger houses for people who are successful. They move out. This turns a nice residential neighborhood into a rental neighborhood, and the rents are too high for anybody to afford it. Here's my question. If Tallahassee and the Big Bend area in South Georgia is going to continue to grow and prosper, we obviously have to have housing for the workforce. You were talking about these $250 to million homes being built out in cow pastures. If we allow a developer to do that, why don't we require that if the developer wants to maybe cut through some of the regulatory red tape and, you know, get it done a little faster and strike while the iron is hot, why don't we require that developer to also pledge to offer an infill affordable housing, you know, mini housing that we've seen like down in Frenchtown area, which is beautiful, I think. And, you know, kind of go a regulation versus deregulation trade-off. So if they want to take their chances on the market, they've got to do a little something for the area.
You're talking quid pro quo, though, aren't you, Reed?
Hey, just call me Mike Pompeo, dude. I don't know.
I'll take a stab at that, Tom.
Okay.
And probably Shington as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Reed, we actually do what you're referring to is a term what we typically call inclusionary housing. And so what it does is require developers or to buy in for a additional bonus and density or any other incentive with the payment being a required number of affordable housing units. Great concept. In some other communities, it works better than it has in ours. But when you have developers and when you have rules or laws or anything like that, you also have folks who are paid specifically find the easiest way around that. So in our community, the threshold is 50 units. So probably the easiest way is to build a subdivision with 49 units. We're working on that. There are some additional layers. It is a good concept, but it does have its limitations. I don't know, Shington, if you want to jump in on that a little bit.
Yeah, I'll just clarify that the inclusionary housing is within the city limits. The county does not have an inclusionary housing ordinance. But what we do have is a great opportunity, going back to what the gentleman's conversation was, to have that conversation. And that's what's going great with our conversation with the Housing Leadership Council, which we're so excited to have been created by the county and city. Because what we're doing now is we're bringing in those who didn't realize, when we talk about affordable housing, especially with who the stakeholders are, it's more than government, it's more than the nonprofits. It has to be the developers, it has to be the finance arm, it needs to be the real estate realtors, because those are critical. And then when we talk about what is causing the cost of housing to go up, we just got to be able to bring them in the room and determine how do we address that, because we do have an opportunity where you do see the increase of how the cost of housing. But being able to come in and sit down and have a conversation about, okay, how do we build more affordable housing for those teachers, those firefighters, and where do we build them? And how what role government needs to play, what role our private sector needs to play, what role our citizens need to play in addressing that, you know, and so that way we can get those homes at a level that those who are 80% or below, again, those who we focus on, can see, be live in a home that they can afford. And that's both single family housing, and that also includes multifamily housing, because we do have a lot of people who are living in apartments who are also cost burden. And so being able to build more apartments that aren't, you know, high end, and more for a family, so that that way they can build the wealth, so eventually they can get their own home, is something that we are very, very focused on with our partnerships and at around the table, but bringing in more partners. That's why it's critical to bring the developers in to talk about what that looks like and what their needs are.
And Kendra, I want to get to you, but Karen, you wanted to jump in on this.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, and Shingshan shared, that the inclusionary ordinance is with the city of Tallahassee. And we are currently partnering with Premier Homes, the city, in a inclusionary project right now in Canopy Oaks. And it's a new construction home. It's 3 bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, and we have partnered to try to find homeowners for those homes. The price right now is $186,200, and so we're looking for those professionals. The little bit of difference here right now is that it goes up to 100% AMI, and it and the potential homeowners can qualify for down payment assistance.
Oh, okay, and Kendra, from the Housing Council's viewpoint on that. And I saw you nodding your head when Reed was saying, well, gee, people, as they move up, you know, through the income levels, they kind of abandon the old neighborhoods, mm-hmm. move on to something more pricey, mm-hmm. and it kind of leaves the old neighborhoods in the lurch. I, mm-hmm. I know in our particular neighborhood, we saw that, you know, solidly middle-class folks, hey, head out to Killarn or one of these other more affluent developments, mm-hmm. and then our whole neighborhood became essentially a rental market at one point. Mm-hmm. It's going back to first-time home buyers now, but mm-hmm. is that a regular kind of thing?
Well, I mean, to go off of what Shingshan was saying, I couldn't agree more that I think that everyone in our community has a specific role to play. And so even down to, you know, our citizens within our community, we have a significant pushback when you say the word affordable housing. I mean, if you look up any article on affordable housing in the Tallahassee Democrat and you read the comment section, it's full of I don't want that next to me. And so this idea that affordable housing somehow means that you're going to have a lesser quality neighborhood, or that people somehow don't deserve dignified housing because of the fact that they are in working class, is something that we definitely need to work to fight against. And then that goes to our private sector and our employers. We all do better when we all do better. So looking at the fact that we have a significant shortage of housing in our community in the $150,000 to $250,000 range, which means that we are losing people to outside counties. When people are paying more than 30% of their income in housing, they are not spending money going out to eat. They are not spending money in our shops and in our stores and in our businesses. And they are strapped and they are cost burdened, and they're not as productive in the workforce as well. So when we are looking at retaining talent from universities and driving business and having a thriving local economy, housing is where we need to start.
I think Darren on line 3 has something to say about that. Then I want to get your take on it too, Nola. Hey, Darren, if you're still there, welcome to Perspectives. Thanks for hanging on. Hello, Darren.
Hello, and good morning to you, Tom, and the panel. I appreciate what you all do in the community. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I'm a Habitat volunteer. In my past, in my youth, I was. But here's my question, and just food for thought here. When I hear the term affordable housing, I absolutely cringe. And it's not because of what the lady was just speaking on. It's just because when I see affordable housing living here in Tallahassee, Leon County, I see it as something that parents can't pass down to their children. I see affordable housing as apartments and whatnot. And if anything happens to these parents, these kids have nowhere to go. They have no family home. And that's a part of the nucleus of family, is having a stable home. And I just wanted the panel and everyone involved to just speak to the root of the problem. Like, why are we having to create a subculture of property owners and, you know, in households? Why are we facilitating this problem and treating the symptoms of it? What is at the root of the problem? Like, how can we lift the tide to where we can put Habitat for Humanity is out of business, you know? And I'll just leave it at that. I'll take my answer off there. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much, Darren. Good to hear from you. Nola Shotwell, you're itching to respond.
Yeah. Darren brought up some really great things. But I got to disagree with you. And as a Habitat volunteer, Darren, when you come out on a Habitat construction site, you see other Habitat partner families working towards home ownership. So if and when, because we're all going to die one day, right? When that happens, you do have that home to leave to your child. Those individuals are actually, they are working hard to purchase a home using a 30-year mortgage, interest-free, that they will then be able to leave to their children. So that is exactly what Habitat for Humanity and TLC is doing with their down payment assistance program. We are trying to elevate people. And I say we because I'm still very much a Habitat supporter. We're trying to elevate people out of poverty through home ownership. And owning a home is the quickest way for an individual to build wealth.
And as far as the perception that maybe affordable housing is shoddy or inferior housing.
Well, let me say
that
this.
I think that is
let
not proven by the facts.
It is not proven by the facts. Because he said that's not what he sees. Well, open your eyes and pay attention, Darren. Here is why. Habitat for Humanity is building their 200th home here. And if you take a look at some of the Habitat homes, you would not know that they are against that they are low-income housing. When I first started with Habitat in Big Bend, we had just received the award for the most energy-efficient homes in the entire state of Florida. Not just in the region, but in the entire state of Florida, right? And so 20 years ago, when no one was thinking about green building, Habitat for Humanity was doing green building. So this notion that people cringe about affordable housing, you're not cringing about the housing, you're cringing about the people. So if Darren wants to address the root cause, let's talk about the root cause. It's racism. It's looking down on poor people. It's all of those other things. So it's not what we're doing in our efforts. It's what's in your heart.
Go ahead, Shington.
I just want to add this, that I live in affordable house because I can afford my house, right? I mean, that's what definition. We're talking about. That's the definition of affordable housing. And I want to add, and because we haven't got a chance to touch this regarding the community land trust that we're working closely ourselves, the county and the city, with Tallahassee Lenders Consortium, and building or building homes, both single family homes and multifamily homes, that will remain affordable in perpetuity. And one of the cool things about that also is that when you look at, because basically in the community land trust process, you're separating the value of the home from the property, from the value of the property, the land itself, to keep it more affordable. But in the area specifically of the multifamily housing side, going back to what Darren said, is that what TLC will be doing is that they'll be working with those tenants to get them to a place where they can become homeowners. That's the neat thing with the CLT. Because, yes, we're trying to build more single-family housing, but we also recognize that some people aren't ready, and they need some assistance, they need some help. And if you put them in an apartment that they can afford, one, then they can build the capital and the wealth they need to eventually build the down payment system or the funding that they will need to move to, one, fix their credit, because a lot of times it's credit issues. And I know Karen will touch on that a little bit, and also build the dollars that they need to get into that next home. But also so there are these opportunities where you will have generational wealth with what we're doing with the community land trust.
And I just want to jump in there because what's really important is that we do the process of education on how to become a homeowner. But past that, we provide financial fitness classes on a monthly basis that's available to anyone. We want people to understand they're already dealing with finances, whether they own a home or not. But how do we get to the point where we can do 30% or less toward our housing need and then be able to deal with the fees that are offered at banks, help them understand what those fees mean, credit cards, the need of a bank account versus placing everything on a card. There's just so many aspects to financial fitness. The other part is once they get the keys in their hand and they're homeowners, we don't leave them alone. We want to be their trusted advisors for life. So if they have any questions about their mortgage papers or he was talking about really a legacy. We talk to them about wills, how they need to structure those wills. We have attorneys come in because we want them to understand that they've made a huge investment and how important it is to be able to move forward in their future.
A holistic approach to money management then on top of it all. Listening to Perspectives of Affordable Housing. We'll continue the conversation in a moment. Like what Shington Lammy said a little bit ago, that he, by the way, director of Leon County's Office of Human Services and Community Partnerships. Affordable housing is if you can afford it.
That's right.
Which is
That's a great
definition. Yeah. Darren, our caller from a while back, sent us an email clarifying he wanted us to know he was mainly commenting on apartment dwellings and not houses when it comes to that. And that brings us to another thing. We hear it's now become conventional wisdom. All of the high-end student housing is driving our rental market absolutely through the skylight and into the stratosphere. Is that what's going on, guys, when it comes to rental housing in this area? Is it mainly because some of those down there along Madison and Gaines Street are going for like $3,000-$3,500 a month? Is that, Kendra, is that what's going on?
Well, I see it as a multifaceted economic situation. So, you know, when they were planning for those buildings, the purpose was to re-centralize students around the universities and pull them out of the single family neighborhoods where there is so much rental going on out in off of the West Tennessee and Jackson Bluff area. So there is a purpose to the plan, so to say. And what that means is that we now have an opportunity to go back into those single family home neighborhoods and start doing some renovations and some repurposing to see if we can kind of create some new communities there.
So that does open up the market a little bit. Is that what everyone's at? Karen, is that going on?
Well, I know what you're talking about, and we do see people that when they say how much they pay for rent, my mouth flies open, and then I wonder if I'm just old, and I just don't recognize that rent is so much. But that's we're hearing that, and I have to agree with what Kendra is saying as well. I think there are plans in place, and we do have to go back and look at the old student housing, but in going into the communities, I know ourselves, we do an acquisition and rehab program where we're looking at homes in those communities and we're doing full rehabs. And our goal, again, is to try to keep that home affordable. So when we are looking, we've been able to do a town home as low as $39,000. We've also done another home in a community that was about $60,000, but we've done a new construction home for $160,000. And so we're looking at how we can keep homes affordable, even when we're doing acquisition and rehab or whether we're doing new construction. And again, so many of us are partners because we do partner with Habitat. We provide the counseling for their clients. But again, going back to the community land trust, that is another affordable housing tool. And our goal is to make those homes affordable, leave out the cost of the land, and allow them to buy into the land trust. Now, once we even continue from the multifamily to the land trust, we want people to be able to buy what we know is fee simple. And if they can do that, great. But if they can't, we still continue to work with that family to help them build wealth. Our goal is to help them get better jobs so that they can eventually go out and build their homes fee simple.
I want to jump in on that a little bit as well. While for wearing my Habitat hat, you know, we're focused on home ownership, we do spend a lot of time pulling people out of bad rental, you know, situations. You know, if we talk about the average two bedroom rental rate in our community is over $900, that's just for two bedrooms. So if you talk about a family, a three bedroom or four bedroom apartment, one for workforce, families, those apartment setups don't exist. Now, you have a lot of four-bedroom split baths that are residual college, you know, apartments in terms of structural. But the other side of that in terms of the affordability is our mortgage is less than $400 on a Habitat home. I mean, most of them are under three. And even if you were in a conventional mortgage setup on, you know, $100,000 to $150,000 house, you're looking at $700-$800 on average. Average rentals in our community for a 3 to 4 bedroom house is at least $1,800 and up. And that's if you just want safe and decent. We're not talking about Gain Street. Gain Street is well into the $2,500 or $3,000. You're talking about $800 a bedroom. So one of the things in wearing my other hat with the Housing Leadership Council that we're focused on doing is to look at ways where we can take some of those older properties, rehab them, bring them into compliance with today's standards, you know, make them nice, but make them affordable. We should be able to have a number of units in our community that rent in that $800 to $1,000 range. So a typical family of 3 to 4 can afford to live without spending a whole paycheck. You know, one of the things we talk about, I remember when I was a kid, you know, college or whatever, you used to spend one of your little, you know, McDonald's or wherever you were working. I was a carpenter at the time. You would spend one paycheck. That first paycheck went to rent. After that, you had kind of party money or gas money or food money, but that first paycheck went to rent. And I remember the day that I started making enough money where I had money left over from my paycheck after paying rent. And that was like, you know, a notch in the cap. You made it.
Freedom.
Freedom. I got extra money after the first. Wow.
Something that's going on down at the Capitol right now, which is always a bone of contention at every legislative session, at least for the past dozen years. The state of Florida has something called the Sadowski Trust Fund. And that is supposed to be earmarked for affordable housing. Shington, does that go to counties, cities, groups like Karen's or Kendra's? Or how does that work?
Specifically, SHIP goes to counties and cities. There are some other dollars in there, like SALE, some homeless dollars also. But specifically for SHIP, that is funded through Sadowski. And we really, really, really need that not to be swept. And we're very appreciative of the governor and the Senate who have shown in their proposals that they propose not sweeping the Sadowski funds at all and having those dollars available because they're critical to what we do. When we talk about more affordable housing and specifically be it single family, a multifamily, the primary source of funding for our programs is SHIP. So last year with SHIP, we rehabbed about 40 homes. That's repairing roofs, that's plumbing upgrades. We replaced 5 substandard homes. I mean, totally replaced the homes. One of those was actually a homeowner who had experienced a lot of damage from their home following the tornadoes that hit the east end of our community. We performed 60 emergency home repairs, like septic pump outs, and then we helped 13 families experience the American dream with down payment assistance working with Tallahassee Lenders Consortium. Those were primarily done with SHIP dollars. We're projected, if fully funded, to get $1.2 million. That's what we would get if we were fully funded. However, that has not been the trend. The trend, unfortunately, Tom, is that there has been sweeps over the last several years. For example, we were supposed to get $1.1 million, but we got $171,000. The year before that, we were supposed to get $1 million. We got $167,000. So over the last 4 years alone, we've been out. We didn't receive $2.9 million. So what does that equate to for us? Well, for us, because I wrote this down, that's 23 brand new affordable housing that we could have been replacing homes. That's 300 roof repairs that we could have done. That's 350 families that could have received down payment assistance. That's affordable housing. That's how you grow your community. And we're able to accomplish that through the Sadowski Trust Fund. So we'll always continue to really work with our partners here in the room, as well as the Florida Housing Coalition, to really get the word out and really push the idea that we need to fully fund the trust fund, because that is so critical to everything that we do when we're trying to build our community, because it's an economic development. I mean, it's an economic driver.
I'd like to jump in on that too. Everything that Shington said, times three, because Shington's numbers were for just the county.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
For our community, the capital city of the great state of Florida, we get both county money and the city money. So take what Shington said and multiply it times three as to the effect, right? What we missed. The mm-hmm. other thing is, we all as housing advocates, we have meetings, we talk, and we're always thinking of new ways. How do we get more money? How do we create a new funding source? Well, we did that with Sadowski. Sadowski is specifically meant to be a way that all of us as citizens in Florida, every time we buy a house, a little bit of that purchase can go to building more housing for the rest of us. That money is there. We're not talking about money from something else. We're literally talking about our money. So we need to be specific and intentional and hold our representatives to doing what we set out to do. I mean, oftentimes we can do great things if we stick to what we said we're going to do.
You say there's a reason they call it a trust fund.
And I just want to jump in and say that because of what you said, Tom, about the Sadowski, that today there are numerous housing advocates across the state of Florida that are at the Capitol talking to many of our legislators. And if I were to do anything, and if they were listening, I'd just make a special plea that they listen to what Shington said and the impact that it has, that they listen to what Antoine just said and how it impacts the capital city of Tallahassee and the importance that housing is to economic development. And I would plead with them not to sweep the Sadowski funds this year.
But as helpful as that is, even if it is only partially funded, I think Nola Shotwell, there's no analog in Georgia that I'm aware of, a special program on
That's
the state
true.
Level.
That's not true. Nope. So we have USDA federal funds, right? So we are the entire Thomas County is a USDA eligible area, meaning you can get USDA 502 direct loan. You can get the 504 rehab program. You also have Department of Community Affairs CHIP program. Under my leadership with Habitat, we were the first affiliate in the entire state of Georgia to receive $600,000. So that's how we went from one every other year to 5 a year. It wasn't just, you know, I'm not that good. But I did write the grant, so I am that good. But so
there are pots of money there. The problem is Shington works in Leon County and not Thomas County. Do you get it?
I get
so
it.
Yeah. Kendra is here and Karen is here, and we don't have these people or duplicates of them working and advocating and organizing and getting information out to the general public. So that's one of the things that I'm hoping to do. So you mentioned Noble Seed. Noble Seed is a for-profit entity, but we're also the fiscal agent for a nonprofit entity called Young Black and Free, which has financial freedom programs, which has the Road to Home Ownership programs, right? And on March 7th, we will be convening in Thomasville, Georgia, to do just what you guys are talking about doing, getting all of that information out there to the general public so that they know there is help. But no one knows that. Because Shington's here in Leon County, and he is not in Thomas County. Do you need a job?
I'm doing good here.
Watch it now.
Where's that going to be, Nola?
Well, TBA. We're trying to find a venue. We were hoping for the Thomas County Public Library. So we're trying to finalize all of that. What you guys can do is go to YBNF.org, and we will have the events there. Become a member, and you'll get notifications of whenever we're having activities there. Or you can follow the Young Black and Free page on Facebook. So you'll see all of our events that we are doing there. Next month is Black History Month, so just pay attention to that page for those activities. And there will be some that talk about housing as well.
That sounds great. Let's go around in just a few moments that we have. Lenders Consortium, Karen Miller, you got some stuff coming up too, right?
Well, I just want to remind everybody that if they go to our website, www.TallahasseeLenders.org, they will find a listing of all of the homebuyer readiness, homebuyer education, all of the post-home ownership classes, financial fitness classes online, and they can register right there online. They can also call our office, and we're going to be working the next several months with the Housing Leadership Council. We're definitely working with Leon County and the City of Tallahassee, where April is Fair Housing Month. We always work with Leon County in their expo as well, and there's always a continuous partnership with Habitat.
Okay, and Antoine, you have an awesome website there for Big Bend Habitat for Humanity, too.
Our website is www.bigbendhabitat.org. On that website, you will find a number of ways to get involved, whether it's through volunteering or sponsoring or donating. We're always looking for ways to connect people, so it doesn't have to be swinging a hammer. I mean, if you're good at marketing, if you're an on-air personality, you've got a great voice, you can come and help us out there. We've got a number of things coming up. We've got a women's bill coming up starting March the 2nd. So that is a really cool bill that I love.
It is, what is it called?
Women's Build. And it is a bill that is fully funded and built by all of the local ladies of Tallahassee. We have Girl Scouts troops, we have church groups, we have a number of business owners, and it is a true focus on women's empowerment. So one of the things about financial freedom is the ability to be financially independent. So I think Ms. Karen talked a little bit earlier about education, budgeting, what is credit? So all of those things build up to how do you purchase a home, particularly for women. So that is an incredible event. We've got a youth bill that's going on right now. We've actually done some really cool things with partnering in our high schools. So we've got those exact educational pieces going on, teaching young people what is credit, you know, how to buy a house, how to budget. So that's the way to get connected to us. We got a lot going on.
Super. Kendra Light, anything going on here with the Housing Leadership Council, Tallahassee, Leon County?
Absolutely, and always. You can go to our website at www.tlhhousing.org. And there you can look up some data as well as contact me. I'm always available for coffees to talk about housing. It is my passion. And we also have a summit that we are planning that we are looking to educate, collaborate, and create in April. So please keep an eye out for information coming for that.
Calendars are filling up. Shankton, what you got for the county?
Well, as Karen mentioned, we do have our home expo coming up later this spring where Leon County residents can learn about becoming a homeowner if they're not a homeowner yet, or maintaining their homes if they are a homeowner, because I think that's also very, very important as far as being able to address those issues that you may have home, because homeownership, it's a responsibility that, you know,
Everybody needs a home.
Yep.
Shankton Lammy, Director of Leon County Office of Human Services and Community Partnerships, Kendra Light, Housing Leadership Council of Tallahassee Leon County, Karen Miller, Assistant Executive Director of Big Bend Lenders Consortium, Nola Shotwell with Noble Seed Contractors, and Antoine Wright, Executive Director of Big Bend Habitat for Humanity. Thank you for coming and talking affordable housing today, right here on Perspectives, which is produced, by the way, by WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. We had Taylor and Lydell back behind the glass today, and I'm Tom. Next week, we are in an election year, right? We have folks from the League of Women Voters coming up next week here on Perspectives.
Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts.